Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let it cry. Don't let your little girl cry.
We're starting to show off just a little early today. I've got a child's play to attend later on tonight. My granddaughter is going to be in a Christmas pageant, and it's not a holiday pageant. No, it's Christmas pageant, and I need to be in attendance. So we're going to start the show off at 4 today and see how that goes. And if 4 works out for everybody, then we'll probably just keep it that way. But other than that, if not, then we'll go back to our normally scheduled programming, which is at 9 p.m. Monday through Friday. I'm your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. Today's date is December 9th, 2010, Washington, D.C., United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. All right, Bootsy, Bootsilla. Yeah. You gotta love it. Every once in a while, I'll dress it up a little bit and put out something that's a little bit different. But what we're probably gonna do is get back to our Christmas theme, within the coming days, as we love that. But hey, lots of news to report today. The House Democrats shot down the new tax plan. So if things don't get back on track and Obama doesn't herd all those cats together, well, we're probably going to look at some higher tax rates coming in January, but just for a little while, because the Republicans will be able to get something through. But it's not looking good right now. And, you know, of course, those Democrats out there, they're going to go ahead and blame the Republicans for their insistence upon providing tax cuts for the wealthy, which they're not tax cuts, as we've gone over numerous times before. We're simply asking that we maintain the current tax rates that have been in existence for the last 10 years. So anything other than maintaining what's already in place, it would be a tax hike. So the folks are jumping ship left and right for this dude. I'm almost starting to feel sorry for him, because his base is just, they're leaving him. They're leaving him in droves, because they're really hot about this tax situation. They believe he's a wimp and that he's giving in. And now, of course, Obama's blaming. He's playing the blame game again. I guess it's not right. It's not convenient for him to go ahead and blame, you know, W. So now he's blaming his own party, and he's saying that they're confused, that they don't really understand what's going on. They don't understand that, you know, he's just trying to help. You know, he's the savior of our country. He's the deity. He's the almighty Barack Obama, and we just don't understand that he's trying to save us. And, you know, he's been saying that to the American people for the last 2 years while simultaneously blaming anybody else and everybody else. Now he is placing blame on his own party members in the House and in the Senate and saying that they're confused. Now the Democrats are confused. Everyone's confused except Barack Hussein Obama. It's really quite sad, and it's interesting to watch a train wreck. It's interesting to watch a man self-destruct right before your very eyes, as Obama seems to be doing. And he is indeed self-destructing. His party is self-destructing. Everything's going up in smoke. And I love it. Let me just say this. My eyes have been opened. When Barack Obama, before Barack Obama became president and ran for president, I had absolutely no idea that the majority of my friends, colleagues, people closest to me were communist, or are communist, socialist, Marxist, Leninist. I mean, I'm amazed daily by the motives and the ideologies of the people around me, my friends, my colleagues, family. And just like, and just as their political leanings are now coming out of the shadows, out of the closet, out of the rat holes, so too are those who are in the media. I mean, you've always suspected, I've always suspected, you know, people at CNN and commentators at the New York Times and MSNBC to be overtly liberal, you know, left of Stalin. But now it's really gotten out of hand. It has really gotten out of hand. Now, in the news today, we see what's going on in the United Kingdom, where socialist policies have been in place for some time now. And they simply can't afford it. They cannot afford all these freebies that they're giving out to the people of the UK. They're running out of money. So they're going to have to increase the cost of all of these free educations, or nearly free educations, that they're passing out, because they simply can't afford it. So what's going on in the UK right now is that there are riots and looting and protests, because the people, the students in the UK, believe in their hearts and in their souls and their minds and everywhere else you can believe something, that an education is a God-given right, or rather a UK-given right, that this is something that is due to them and owed to them. This is a fallacy of socialism. When you give out something for nothing, people begin to expect it. It's something that they expect, something that they believe they deserve, that it is their right to have. And that's what's happening here in the U.S. as well. I talk to so many people, black folks, who believe that they're owed by the United States of America, by the United States government, a house, a car, and anything else they can get for free. I recall reading a story when Barack Obama was on the campaign trail, and he visited a small town in Florida, Kissimmee, I believe, and an older black woman approached him and asked him for a house. She said she needed a new house and she wanted a new kitchen because her kitchen was old. And she wanted to know, she wanted Barack Obama to promise her that he would get her a new house. And then there's the woman or the group of folks who stood out in Detroit in the dead of winter because somewhere that week they were told that if they showed up at a convention center, they would be promised to get free checks, free money. And when a reporter asked, "Where's this free money coming from?" A black woman who shamed me. I mean, I just felt so bad to be black that day after hearing this. It was just embarrassing. Because she said, he said, "Well, where's the money going to come from?" She said, "Obama." And he asked, "Well, where's Obama going to get it?" She said, "I don't know, his stash." And the guy said, "His stash? Well, where's the stash coming from?" "I don't know. He got some money. I'm standing here. I'm going to get me some money. Obama's going to give me some money." So you've got people in the UK and other countries, and now here in the United States of America, where it's been for a long time, not just now here, but where you have people who are expecting to get something for nothing. And now, I'll tell you what, there are black people all over America who have been expecting, who have complained to me, a lot have complained to me, that Obama isn't doing enough for black people. Obama's not doing enough to give them a job, to take care of their mortgages. Oh, yeah, I do remember now another black woman who said, "Hallelujah. We got a black president. We got us a black president. Now I don't have to worry about no car note. I don't have to worry about no mortgage. I don't have to worry about no insurance because we got us a black president." Okay. It's absurd. I almost felt bad for that moronic lady, believing that just because a black man is in the Oval Office, that now they're going to get something for free. Like I've always said, you know, when a black person walks up to me and asks me, "Why are you a Republican? You know, how did you come to the point where you're a Republican?" I always give them the simplest analogy that I can find, that I can conjure up. And I liken my ideology, my epiphany to that came to me to become a Republican like this. During the time of the Civil War, after President Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation, I picture a scene. Two scenes, one on one side of the road and one on the other. On one side there's a plantation, on the other side there's another plantation. We'll say plantation house on the east side of the road is a Democrat plantation. And on the west side of the road is a Republican plantation. We'll start with a Democrat plantation. On that plantation, D. White Man, as we'll call him, has just gotten the news that he must release all of his slaves and let them go about their business. So he steps out on the porch wearing that typical white hat and the black string tie, you know, the whole Colonel Sanders get up. And he says to his niggers, "Niggers, You is free. But I tell you what, you're not very smart. You don't have any education. You got no place to go. You're generally just pretty stupid. You're going to go out into the world and it's going to eat you alive. So here's what I'm going to do. You stay here and work on my plantation. And I'm going to give you a little bit of land to work. You can stay on that land. And I'm going to feed you and take good care of you. But don't leave. You stay here. You stay here and work for me. That's the Democrat slave master, as I picture it. On that day, no, the day after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. Now, let's move over to the Republican plantation. White slave master, come out wearing the Colonel Sanders getup. Same thing. He said, gets all his niggers together around the porch, a whole bunch of them. And the niggers are waiting for the news. Some of them are saying, well, I hope I can stay on and work. I hope I don't have to go. I hope he don't kick me off his land. He says, niggers, y'all is free. You free. Go. Go and make your way in the world. It's all on you now. You have a choice. You can do what you want to do. You can go out. You can stay here if you want and work on my land. Or you can leave. It's up to you. If you stay, I'll pay you a good wage. And maybe down the road, you know, you may be able to buy a piece of my property. But other than that, you know, get on out of here. Do your own thing. You're on your own. I would much rather, if I were back then, and if I were a slave, I would much rather hear that than to hear D. White Man on the east side of the road on his plantation tell me I'm stupid and I can't make it without him. And that's what Democrats say. Always. They say to black folks, you know, you was in slavery for 400 years. When is it going to be 450, I wonder, or 475, or even 500 years? 500 years from now, we're still going to say that we were in slavery for 400 years. Where does the 400 come from anyway? But nevertheless, white politicians and even black politicians, the Congressional Black Caucus, every single member will go out into their constituency and tell black folks, if you stick with me and you vote for me, I'm going to bring home the goods for you. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to go out and get a job. You don't have to do anything. Just vote for me and I'll take care of you. I'll make sure that you can go to school. I'll make sure that you get some nice health benefits. I'll make sure that you get 99 weeks of unemployment. All you got to do is vote for me. And leave everything to me. You don't have to do nothing. While on the Republican side, they're saying to black folks and white, you know what? They only give you like 99 weeks of unemployment, but after that, you're on your own, dude. Get on up there and make some money, you know, innovate, do your own thing. But I can't carry you. The government can't take care of you. We're not going to. It's all on you. It's all up to you. Use your talents, whatever talents God gave you, to make a way for yourself. Now, what self-respecting person would not want to hear that, as opposed to, you're not very smart, you're behind because 400 years of slavery, and you really don't have all the tools to look out for yourself. So vote for me, and I'll set you free. Free from work, free from responsibility, free from accountability. Because after all, the government owes you. Whitey owes you a living. Because your great-great-great-grandfather, or in some cases your great-grandfather, were in slavery. So because they were enslaved, I'm going to give you some free stuff. Going to get some welfare checks, going to get some unemployment checks, and we're generally going to take care of you. But you make sure, if I do all this for you, you'll vote for me. This is why I'm a Republican. That's why I'm a Republican. I'm a Republican because for the same reason that Condoleezza Rice's dad became a Republican. Back in Birmingham, when he went out to vote, he went out to vote Democrat. And Democrats turned him away. They told him, "Nigger, you got to take this competency test, or you have to pay a poll tax if you want to vote here." Now, Condoleezza Rice's father was a college professor, and he felt that he didn't have to be subjected to that kind of treatment. So he went across the street, literally, to the Republican polling place. This was in the early 50s. You know what they said? "Come on in. Come on in and vote." Because the Republicans, a vote's a vote. Didn't have anything to do with skin color or where you came from. Remember, the Republican Party was started by Abraham Lincoln. Well, pretty much. That's fairly accurate. There was a party called the Whig Party that was the party of choice, and then the Republican Party came about during the time that Abraham Lincoln was running for president. This is why, as I stated, Condoleezza Rice's father became a Republican. And I'm always amazed that black folks are so enamored with the Democratic Party. And I wonder, do they really know the history of the Democratic Party in the 40s and 50s, 20s, 30s, and how they abused black folks? And how even today, Democrats talk down not only the black people. This conversation has been about black folks because I'm black, and folks been asking me for the last 2 years why I don't approve of Barack Obama and why I am a Republican. So that's why I'm having this discussion. Democrats will gain votes and gain support and gain allegiance from people by telling them, essentially, not in the exact words, that they're not good enough, that Republicans don't like you. Republicans want to see you out on the streets. Republicans want to see you fail. Republicans don't want to see you get ahead. Republicans don't want to look out for you. Republicans aren't looking out for you. But the way I was raised, I'm a man. I don't need anybody to look out for me. And like James Brown said, "Open up the door and let me get it myself." You know, I'll do my own thing. I don't want anyone taking care of me, looking out for me. The government, that's not the government's job. But so many black folks believe that it's the Republicans, the government's job to take care of you, to look out for you. In words of Al Sharpton, to make everything equal in everybody's house. It's insane. And pretty soon, once this government becomes sane again, after Barack Obama is sent packing back to Chicago, back to Indonesia, back to Hawaii, as far away as we can get him out of here, once we have a sane government again, we're going to start making some cuts. And I can pretty much guarantee that once we make those cuts and all these social programs that folks have become to expect and believe that it's their right to have, we're going to see what's going on, the same thing that's going on in the UK this very moment. We're going to see that here in the United States of America. Folks are going to start rioting. They're going to start looting. There's going to be Watts all over again, or Detroit or Chicago, because folks are not going to stand for it, because they're going to say, you owe me. You owe me a living. You owe me food. You owe me shelter. It's my right. Like one of the co-chairmen of the FCC, black lady, said that it's the right of every Negro nappy-head child, those were her exact words, and she's black, to have free internet. That it's a right to have free internet. Okay, my response to her is, who the hell is paying for that for you? How are you just going to conjure up free internet? Who's going to work and do that? I mean, there are people behind the scenes. Who is gonna work to get you the free internet you want and the free house? Somebody's got to build that stuff. But there are folks like Ms. Clyburn who believe that it's a right. She said it was a right for you to have free internet, for your kids to have free internet. Well, yeah. Okay. Where will it all end? Because there'll be people out there saying that, you know, I mean, free house to live in, free car, free food, free gasoline or electricity for the crappy electric vehicles. It's getting out of hand. And what's going on in the UK today can and will happen here. Once we run out of money. And you know what? We are already running out of money. We're out of money. It's just a matter of time before folks figure it out, before it sets in. And once it does, it's all going to go down, just like over in the UK. And you know who's going to be leading the charge? Black folks out rioting and looting. Because when a black person gets mad and they get into a big old group, and remember, I'm black, they do three things. No, two things. March, rioting, and looting. That's three things. Marching, rioting, and looting. And we're going to have some marches, some rioting, and some looting. And I can guarantee you this. Most of them are going to be black. Well, the white folks are going to be at home, you know, typing on the keyboards and, you know, putting the blogs out. They're going to be out there rioting and looting and throwing bottles and all that stuff. A different way of handling things. But it's all going to go down. And so when I watch the socialist revolution going on, the violence going on, the looting, the burning, turning over cars going on because the UK can't afford to pay for everyone's college education or provide a college education to every single person, it reminds me of what's going on here in America, where you have Democrats standing on the house floor. Oh, I have a person in the chat room saying that we'll be governed by China. That's not far off. Have you seen that commercial where there's a Chinese professor giving a lecture on the fall of the Roman Empire and the United States and other world powers? Yeah, it's coming. We're not almost broke. We are broke. We're borrowing money from somebody else. And you know what? It's like in the movies. Well, you should check it out because it is a really great, it's not only a really great, well done commercial, but it is, I wish I could bring it up right now. I wish I had it. I'll get it though. It was just on Fox News and a couple of other news stations just about an hour ago. There's a communist, there's a Chinese professor, and he is talking about the fall of the great empires, and it's somewhere off in the future. And at the end, he's speaking to a group of students, and he says to the students, "Now America works for us." After he stated that America used to be the greatest superpower in the world, now they work for us. Well, that's not far off, because we don't have any money anymore. We're borrowing money. We're borrowing money all the time. So the rioting, get ready for the rioting and the looting. Because you have Democrats on the House floor even today saying that America needs to take care of its citizens. And I'm reminded that Dirty Harry said to his constituents in Arizona that it was his job to create jobs, when that is not the job of a senator. It's not even the job of the government to create jobs. That's a private sector. Since when has it become the government's job to create jobs? I mean, at best, at most, I suspect it should be the responsibility to create an environment where the private sector can thrive and thus citizens will. Remember back in 2008 when everyone compared Barack Obama to Abraham Lincoln? After he was elected president, Obama himself talked about what he was learning from the 16th president. Fast forward to today, no one is talking about those parallels. Only the most foolish among us would put Obama anywhere near the rarefied stratosphere of one of our most revered leaders, if not the most revered. But folks are saying Barack Obama, Abraham Lincoln. No, not even close. Not even close. Obama's presidency is a joke now. Liberals are jumping ship. The media is jumping ship. George Soros, the puppet master, is jumping ship. The Democratic Party, for the most part, calling him out daily, embarrassing him. I almost feel sorry for him. Almost. Because it seems to me like he's beaten down. It seems to me like, he can't take any criticism because he believes he can't be God's gift to the United States of America because somehow he thinks he is God. Yeah. And now they want to complain. They want to complain that, well, to give tax cuts This is the complaint that really amuses me and annoys me both at the same time. You want to give tax cuts to the wealthy. And at first they were calling them millionaires. Then they upped the ante to millionaires and billionaires. Now you have a lot of folks from the administration just saying billionaires, because $250,000 is not really all that much money anymore. And folks, there's some folks who are eating it up. They come to me and they say, you know what? Why do the Republicans want to give a tax cut to millionaires and billionaires? Well, it's not a tax cut. It's maintaining the current tax rate that has been in place for the last 10 years for everybody. But so many people show their hands when they say, well, I believe that we should give tax rates to anybody making under $250,000 and raise the rates of people who are making more. Well, then punish success. Yes, you're absolutely right. There are. On Fire is saying that it majored in political science and there are no good ones, but there are some that are far worse politicians, I believe. Yes, exactly. And I've been saying that all week. Do you just need to give it to God and pray? But you know what? The Lord helps those who help themselves. And I say, let's help ourselves. No, God, we give it to God and pray. But you know what? In addition to that, God gave us free will. Let's try to help the situation along a little bit. And vote. And voice our concerns, because either Barack Obama has been put in office to destroy the United States of America, to marginalize it, or as he said, to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And folks clapped and cheered. Yay! Yay, Barack, you're going to change. Change you can believe in, and change and change and change and change. But no one really asked the question. Well, a few did. What sort of change? What change? Well, what kind of change are you talking about? You know, change isn't always good. I mean, I'm consistently amazed when folks say, change is good. No, it's not always. It's not always for the good. So no one asked what this change means. What kind of change are you talking about? And interestingly enough, Mr. Obama was vague about what sort of change he meant. While meeting with George Soros 5 times. Not 4 has been reported, but 5 times. And we all know that George Soros has publicly stated in many speeches and lectures that he wants to bring about the collapse of the United States of America's political and financial system so that it can be remade and thus become part of his vision of an open society. I ask the question, what former president do you think would meet with a loon like that? I don't care how rich he is. President Reagan would have booted him in the ass. Get out of here. I even believe that Bill Clinton would have booted him. Although I'm not so sure about him. You know W would have told, you know, hey, take a walk, dude. What are you talking about? You want to collapse our monetary system? You want to collapse our political system? When you're sitting here in the Oval Office with me? Secret Service, getting him the hell out of here and boot him in the ass on the way out. But no, Barack Obama meets with him 5 times and just chills. Having mint julep, or maybe a frosty or a snow cone or whatever the hell. Low sugar, because Michelle doesn't like sugar and sweets and stuff. Even though she's getting fatter by the day, if you can get a gander at her ugly ass. I'll tell you this right now. Something is really going on with this guy. He does not want America to prosper. He is a con man. And who called him that recently? Ralph Nader. Oh, yeah. Ralph is back. Ralph Nader, liberal activist and 2-time third-party presidential candidate, called Obama out. He said that Obama has no fixed principles. Mr. Obama is opportunistic. That he's an opportunist. He's a con man, Nader continued. I have no use for him. Well, Nader, tell us what you think, Ralph. Ralph has been around a long time. I remember reading about Ralph Nader when I was in grade school and seeing a picture of him in my textbooks. He's been around a long time. He says he has no use for Obama and that he's a con man. Everybody's mad at him. And now, a new poll has come out saying that more than 50% of Americans say they are worse off now than they were 2 years ago when President Obama took office. Well, it's going to get a little bit worse. It's going to get a little bit worse because now it's all about giving up. You know, I'm just beside myself right now. If you don't have any money, how do you go on spending? And spending and spending and spending. Unless you're attempting to bankrupt yourself on purpose. I mean, here, if I'm president of the United States and I know that we're having financial difficulties, I'm going to cut the budget. I'm going to cut wherever I can. And who cares about it? Be damned. You know, because when America was founded, the true intent of the United States government was to protect the citizens. You know, have an army. So we cut everything but defense, and maybe even a little of that. And stop flying all over the world. Because, yeah, and the Air Force has released a report saying that it cost over $200,000 an hour to maintain and fly Air Force One when the president wants to go somewhere. An hour. Now, it takes 12 hours to get from here to Indonesia, North Korea, or South Korea, rather. Places like that. But Obama's flying off into the friendly skies every single chance he gets. So if I'm the president, or if you're the president, you're going to say, well, you know what, maybe I shouldn't just, you know, get on the plane and just fly off everywhere. That, not only is it going to look bad, but it's pretty damn expensive. So I'm probably just going to go where it's really necessary, when it's really necessary. I'll fly off to Egypt if, you know, there's somebody's threatening a war or something, or we need to do a treaty or something, but not just to go and hang out for 10 days. I mean, you're the president of the United States. We should set an example. one would think. But he's flying off everywhere. Yeah, he's wealthy. If you're talking about Obama, not George Soros, he's wealthy, but he's not spending his money. Every time he gets on Air Force One and flies off somewhere, it's costing taxpayer money, money we don't have. Every time he enacts a program or gives out or puts out some stimulus jack, that's money we don't have that we're borrowing from China. But see, this is what happens when we elect a Democrat. It doesn't have to be Barack Obama. Democrats spend your money. And I believe that Obama's upset with this tax deal, and the Democrats are upset with this tax deal because all of that money that they say will increase the deficit if they don't get that revenue in, they're not concerned about the deficit. They're concerned that that big pile of cash that would be coming in if they raise taxes on people making $250,000 or more, that's the money they won't have to spend. But you hear them saying all the time, all day long, how this is going to affect the deficit. How $250 billion that will raise the deficit, and we have deficit concerns. No, that's a nice try. But Americans aren't stupid. We're not Homer Simpsons, like the Obama administration has leaked out that the Obama administration thinks we are. They're upset because people who've earned their money actually get to keep it and do whatever they want with it. And the Obama administration and the Democrats don't believe that we should have the right to earn our own money as much as we want and then do what we want with it. So this is money that they won't be getting in, and then they can't spend. And if they can't spend, well, what's the whole point? If they can't spend somebody else's money. Now, this survey was conducted December 4th through 7th, and it finds that 51% of respondents think the situation has deteriorated compared with 35% who say they're doing better. I wonder who those folks are. There is a negative sentiment out there that this guy has no idea what he's doing. That he has no idea how to do this job. And this is what happens when we elect a guy who spent 2 years in the Senate. And before that, he was in the Illinois State Legislature, and they don't do a damn thing. And he voted, what, five times the whole time? The other times he was just marked present? Come on. You know, Obama sees America as the problem, his problem. Sarah Palin, for this week's Time magazine, and what is she doing on Time magazine? I mean, who buys that thing? Nobody. Some doctor buys that to put in his waiting room on the table in the waiting room. Nobody actually buys that thing anymore. Why is it still in business? But she says that Obama thinks that America is the problem, according to Obama, because we just don't understand. He's trying to help us. He complained and continues to complain that he's just not getting the message out right. You know, that we just don't understand. We don't understand him. We're just not smart enough because we're clinging to our religion and our guns. And we just don't know all the facts. But we do know one thing. dude is bankrupting the United States of America, and I think he's doing it on purpose. Barack Obama has increased our debt by nearly $4 trillion in 2 years. That's more than every other president combined. Every single president combined, Barack Obama has spent more in the 2 years than all of them. That's a fact. It's not my opinion. Look it up. It's so true. So if he gets another 2 years, how much jack is he going to spend? Yes. Yes, he is the problem. And the people that control him, well, there's just one person, and his name is George Soros. And George Soros said just 2 weeks ago that he's not getting what he's paying for. Those are not his exact words. But that's what he meant when he said that, you know, we contributed to Barack Obama's campaign. We gave him all this money, and we're not getting the results. And if we continue not to get the results that we want, we're going to get somebody else. Now, those were closer to his exact words. I'll find them shortly. So, what is he saying? He's saying that he basically bankrolled Barack Obama and he's not getting his money's worth. How embarrassing is that for Barack Obama? So when Glenn Beck calls Barack Obama, George Soros, the puppet master, well, maybe he's not so far off the mark. Maybe he's not so far off the mark. Maybe he is the puppet master. Maybe he's just admitted as such. You know, George Soros simply can't help himself. Maybe he is brilliant because he's laying his plan out for us. Every single time he gets on TV or gives a lecture at some college or university or anywhere, he tells you exactly what he wants to do. Bankrupt the United States of America. Bring about the collapse of our government. He says so. Ballsy? Yeah. So, he pretty much said that he's financing Barack Obama and he's not getting what he paid for. And if this keeps up, he's going to find himself somebody else. Kind of sounds like Manchurian President, one of my favorite books I have on the shelf over here. Okay, let's get the quote right. Quoting several Democratic sources, the Huffington, I can barely say it, I'm almost about to puke by saying the words Huffington Post. Blech, blech. It is, it's all about money. The Huffington Post reports that billionaire George Soros may be encouraging his fellow progressives to funnel their money away from President Barack Obama. That is, unless Obama can deliver for their cause. During a small private meeting of the Democracy Alliance Tuesday afternoon, Soros reportedly told the well-funded, progressive-minded crowd that the Obama administration might not be their best investment. According to multiple sources with knowledge of his remarks, Soros told those in attendance that he is used to fighting losing battles, but doesn't like to lose without fighting. We have lost this election. We need to draw a line, he said, according to several Democrat sources. And if this president can't do what we need, it's time to start looking somewhere else. So what does that say? George Soros, Barack Obama, bought and paid for. Obama is the puppet, Soros the puppet master, because Soros has all that jack, and he's spreading it around to try to get Barack Obama to do what he wants. And by stating that this election is lost, he was stating that the November elections were lost to the Democrats. And so Barack Obama is bought and paid for by George Soros. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that millionaires and billionaires bankrolled a president's campaign or a presidential candidate's campaign and wanted something in return. But how many, I wonder, because I don't know for sure, but how many of those millionaires and billionaires who helped to elect presidents wanted them to collapse the government, wanted an, quote, open society, end quote, one without borders and nationalities, one without governments, one without heads of state? I guess he just wants people just kind of milling around, just kind of hanging out, a rudderless ship or two, because that's what he said he wants. Those are not my words. Those are his words. So how many presidents would you think, or would you guess, have met five times with somebody who says openly that that's what they want to do? And you're hanging out with him. He's your buddy. Lincoln, Washington, Reagan, rolling over in their graves right now, probably haunting that dude in the White House nightly. This guy cannot leave office soon enough for my taste. The day he packs his bags with that ugly wife of his and those two funny-looking kids and departs the White House for parts unknown, it'll be a great day for the United States of America. I can tell you that right now. Because, not so much because he's a bad guy, because a lot of people like him. And you know what? He's amiable. I got to admit that. In a con artist sort of way. Yes, all of the founding fathers are rolling over. Everybody who signed that document, even John Hancock, everybody's just rolling over, thinking about what the hell has happened here. But he's a con artist. I mean, I can get back into the whole teleprompter thing and how you're in a room with 6-8 people in a cabinet meeting and you're using a teleprompter for those 6 folks. Or I can talk about the time he's in the children's classroom, a group of 5th graders. He's giving a speech to the 5th graders and he's using a teleprompter. Well, we'll get back more into this tomorrow because we're running out of time. Thank you for listening. Hope y'all have a wonderful night. Yeah. Thank you. And we will talk again. And I'm going to throw out here one of my favorite tunes because it's all about Christmas. And I want to know what has happened to Christmas when I go into Walmart or some other place and folks are telling me happy holiday. Because I want to hear Merry Christmas. Ooh, Bootsy. That's not what I wanted. Technical difficulties. Here we go.
Happened to Christmas, it's good. gone and left no traces. Whatever happened to the faces all aglow? Whatever happened to Christmas? To the Christmas way of living? Whatever happened to the giving? Magic in the snow. Remember the sights and the smells and the sounds, and remember the cheery call. Remember how love was all around. Whatever happened? Whatever happened.